was talking with a young father this morning, and we both agreed that there really is nothing more noble than to be a dad. And nothing more scary, right? What a challenge. It's not easy, but it's an endeavor. It's a challenge that I believe that with the help of the Lord, we can all step up to the plate and do a great job. Amen. Let me say from the outset, you know, whenever Father's Day rolls around, it's kind of interesting the emotions that it elicits in some. And let me just say that if you grew up maybe in a single parent home, and I know sometimes a single parent home can be with the dad being the principal, that's probably the exception and not the rule. But if you grew up in a single parent home or where your dad wasn't around, you know, I just want you to know you're not stuck. Amen. Because we have a heavenly Father that can fill in all the gaps, all the holes, all the whatever it may be. Or if you grew up in a home that your dad wasn't the best example of a great dad, we're still not stuck. Amen. Thank God that we have a heavenly Father, that we really do have a model that we can look to. Amen. And then if you grew up in a home of where you had an engaged dad, a dad that was there, then that's just another one of the blessings that we can count that we had in life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk today about a dad, a father in Scripture that we just don't hear a whole lot about. We hear a whole lot about the other side to it, but we don't hear a whole lot about this particular father. And you know, there's some great fathers that we can look to in Scripture. Certainly the one story that I love, probably it's one of my favorite stories, is the father of the prodigal son. What a great dad that dad is. I mean, what a great example that father is. And you know, I've used that text as a kind of a foundation text in years past as, wow, what a great dad. But I want to talk about a dad this morning that, talking about a dad that had a challenge ahead of him, and that would be Joseph. Can you imagine being the closest man in Jesus' life? Can you imagine? Do you think that would be a challenge? I think it would be. We hear a lot about Mary, and certainly Mary is a, you know, the word says that she'll be called blessed for all generations. In fact, the word says about Mary that there's none better than her, right? But in all of this, I was thinking about this last week and just, you know, trying to prepare for today. God looked out among people and God chose Mary. What a great choice, right? I mean, for her to have been chosen to be the one whose womb brought forth the Son of God, what a deal. I mean, what a deal. Highly favored. Amen? But you know what? There's another side to that story. God also had to look out, and in his wisdom, the man that came alongside her that would be a father figure in Jesus' life. How many of you know that we know that Joseph was not the human side of the father of Jesus? Who was that? The Holy Spirit, right? The Lord. So, but can you imagine, I think that Joseph as well, can you imagine being chosen by God to be the one that was going to have in your home that you're the head of, Jesus, the Son of God? And so I just want to look a little bit at, we don't have a whole lot written in Scripture about Joseph. We don't have a whole bunch. In fact, once Jesus enters the ministry, at 30 years of age or so, you don't have, Joseph is not mentioned anymore in Scripture. And that's probably, and then when Jesus ended his life, he told one of the disciples that was going to take care of Mary. So it tells us that Joseph was dead. We know that according to Christian history that he was after that time. So, but what we do have about Joseph, I think, can be an inspiration for us as well. So with that, why don't we just read a little bit in the book of Matthew? Let's turn to Scripture and read there. God's wisdom and looking out among all these people on the earth, he chose Mary to bring forth the Son of God. Joseph was a godly man that God looked at and said, you know what? That's the couple that my son is going to be here on this earth is going to be brought up in their under their tutelage. What an incredible thing. Are you in Matthew 1? Let's start in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. So there's a characteristic of Joseph that we see. That is a characteristic that dads for you, for us, it's a characteristic that we should strive to be as well. A just man. Does that mean a perfect man? No. It just means a man that if I could say it this way, is that it is engaged in their relationship with God and engaged in relationship with people. And specifically for a father, engaged in relationship in our families, right? One that's there. So, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So, according to Jewish law, during the betrothal, so what would be the closest thing in our relationship deal? What's the closest thing to betrothal would we have in our relationships between a man and engagement period? Okay, so they're not legally married at this stage, but for a betrothal, under Jewish law, they'd have to go through a divorce to break their betrothal. It would be different than us today that, you know, if we were engaged to somebody and for whatever reason we broke the engagement off, it would pretty much be not a big issue, right? Okay, it was probably a big issue to the couple, but, you know, big deal from a public perspective, it's not that big of a deal. But during Jewish law, this is one of the things that helps me flesh out who Joseph was, because it just reinforces the fact that this guy was really a great guy. Okay, so here during this betrothal period, they're not married, and so it says that they hadn't been together. That means that they hadn't consummated their marriage. They hadn't had sex, okay? So they weren't husband and wife. They were just betrothed to each other, okay? During that time frame, if one or the other were to be, you know, sexually active with somebody else, or even their one that didn't happen, okay? If that were to be found out, then they would go through a writ of divorce, and then they would be, that the one that was the perpetrator would be publicly humiliated, certainly within the Jewish family, community, whatever, and it would be a very big deal. And there would be a scar across that person's character that would stay there. So what I love about Joseph is Joseph finds this out. Now, can you just imagine if you were Joseph and here you have this lady that's going to become your wife and you find that out, would any of us in here be happy? No. But there's a little phrase that's something that says he looked to put her away secretly. So in other words, that tells me something about Joseph, that he would have had every right to make her publicly, to allow her to be publicly humiliated and go through that divorce proceedings. He had had every right to do that. There wouldn't have been anybody that would have criticized him for doing that. But I look at that and I think, you know what, here's Joseph, the man that God chose to be the dad in Jesus's life during his growing up years, was a guy that tells me that he was sensitive to somebody else. Could have went public, but his first thought was to do it in a way that would make it as least damaging to her as possible. But while he thought about these things in verse 20, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. So the words that came to Mary were, you know, pretty incredible, right? In Luke chapter 2, when the angel of the Lord came to Mary and told her what was going on, you know, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, and I think it's Luke 2:38. She said, be it unto me according to your word. I mean, what a response. I mean, if you know, God chose a great lady in Mary, right? She hears this, pretty wild deal, of, you know, from the natural sense, kind of a cockamamie story, kind of a story that's way out there. Yes, yeah, right. Well, whatever. Okay, cool. Be it unto me according to your word. In other words, I'm yours, Lord. Okay. So then for Joseph to hear the story, Joseph's perspective of the story is quite a bit different than Mary's. Mary's the one that, okay, the child was going to be in her. She was going to the one that was going to go through the birth process and whatever. But Joseph is left. Can he stand behind this lady that you got to know? Everybody around, how many of you know that there probably had to be just tons of comments when Mary, if you could say it this way, when Mary went shopping at Costco, all the people that saw her and whatever. Can you imagine just the scuttlebutt that was going around? Oh yeah, whatever. She says it's of the Holy Ghost. And all the stories. But you know, Joseph had to stand behind her, stand beside her with his head up, his shoulders squared, and said, you know what? This is my wife. And she is going to bring forth the Son of God. Pretty powerful. Okay, so all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, verse 22, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and didn't know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The next thing that I see about Joseph that dads for us is something that we can aspire to and model is that we simply obey God. Amen. Ladies out there, would you mind if your husband, the father of your children, would you mind if they just obeyed God all the time? You know what? I don't think there's a lady that's normal. Okay? I don't think there's a lady that's normal that loves the Lord would ever mind their husband obeying God. Isn't that right?
Right.
Fact, ladies, you would wish that we would obey God. And if you don't, then you need to get fixed. Something needs to happen in you that you don't mind your husband obeying God. Because how many of you know that in our obedience to the Lord, whatever God asks us to do as a family, if I just say it that way, how many of you know it's going to be for our better? And if our dads, if we can, when we hear the Lord, I just love that, you know, we don't know, but I know how the writer conveyed it to us, and I know that the writer conveyed it to us under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what I see in this is that I don't see this huge debate within Joseph. I can imagine that he had some thought bumps. I can imagine when he found out that Mary was pregnant with Jesus before they ever got married, I can imagine that there was some thought bumps, and you know, he thought about putting her away. All right, how can we get out of this deal secretly, you know, to where it's not bringing a public humiliation to her or whatever? And then the angel of the Lord appears to him, tells him this whole story. And what I just love is that there doesn't seem to be, at least from Scripture, there doesn't seem to be this long drawn out, you know, and Joseph spent many horrible nights not sleeping, you know, pondering whether or not he should obey. What we just kind of have is this very matter of fact, and Joseph obeyed. Dads, if we can come to the spot that we just, when we hear, we obey. When we hear, we obey. In fact, if we would do with God what we wished our children would do with us, right? When we ask our children to do something, I don't know about you, but I don't like to get into a discussion. Am I just wacky? I don't like my son. I don't like my daughter going into I think we need to talk about it. It's like, no, we don't need to talk about this. You need to obey. I had an interesting talk with one of my children. I won't mention his name. Just yesterday, I was aggravated, but I wanted to laugh at the same time because it was too funny. I just thought, you little toot. So we're outside working, and I'm trying to be really kind for his sake because it cracked me up, and I don't want him to hear that I thought it was funny secretly. I want him to still know that I wasn't happy. So we're doing something. We're weed whacking. I'm mowing. He's weed whacking. Well, he's done in like 10 minutes. It's like, serious? You're done? Yeah, did everything you asked. Like, so I just said, okay, look right over here. Do you see any weeds?
Oh, yeah.
Do you see if any of them, are any of them whacked?
No.
Then you're not done. Well, there's weeds everywhere. That's why they need to be whacked. Then here's what he says. He just walks over, sits on the back of my pickup, and does this. Well, you're just going to have to hire somebody because I ain't doing it. My first reaction is I wanted to laugh my head off. I thought that was funny. I said, pardon me? He said, you're just going to have to hire somebody to do it because I'm not doing it. I said, do you realize whose role is who? I said, who's in charge at this moment? Me or you? He goes, well, I still stand behind what I said. I said, well, you need to get up out of that pickup right now. And do what? I said, you're going to work. I'm hiring you, but I'm not paying you a dime. Not a dime. To which he goes, I'm on summer vacation. My mind is just blown here. I'm telling you, every ounce of me is just freaking out inside going, you got to be kidding. I said, okay. I said, here's the deal. I don't want you to say another word. I said, so we're at a moment in this conversation now that you shut up. He said, couldn't you say that a little bit nicer? I said, okay. We're at a moment now. I said, seriously. I said, don't you dare answer. I said, this is a moment that you do one thing. That one thing is that you listen. And then when I'm done talking, you don't say a word, not a word, and you go to work. As I said, delayed obedience is exactly the same as disobedience. Dads, let's never forget that. When God speaks to us, delayed obedience is disobedience. We don't get around to obeying when we want to. It was all he could do, bless his heart. I'm just like, where did that come from? Not in a million years. What if I had that conversation with my dad? Not in a million years. I said, there's one thing here. I'm doing the talking, you're doing the listen, and you're doing the obeying when I'm done. There'll be no discussion whatsoever. You got that? After a while, it sunk in. But I thought, how often have we? Because, you know, all during my day, no matter what I'm doing, I'm thinking about what I'm preparing for us on a Sunday. And I thought about that. I thought, I've had a few of those conversations with God. Amen. I would love to stand before you and say that in my 40, however many years of serving God, that, yep, I'm an instant obedient guy. But I've had discussions with God, and they're silly discussions, and I wonder if sometimes God reacts the way I reacted initially. I wonder if God sometimes, when we respond back, I wonder if he just elbows Jesus at his right hand and starts laughing and look at Jesus and go, really? He just said that. Like I'm going to rationalize with God, or that I'm going to fill in God about something that he forgot. Or I just look at God, well, you're just going to have to hire somebody else because I'm not doing it. And then to think, where would that get with God? Then I see that side of God. It's like, no, you don't talk to me that way. Okay. So then at the end of the day, in his defense, at the end of the day, there was no discussion. Seriously, for the rest of the day, there was no discussion. He would come over. I said, don't say a word. Get back to work. And at one point he went, I said, do you need water? Go to the, so I said, all right. Go to the hydrant, get you a drink, don't say a word. Get back to work. It's like, somehow we'll break through, I don't know. At the end of the day, 3 hours plus later, at the end of the day, I said, you can talk now. do you have anything to say? I'm sorry. I said, pardon me? I said, how about you say it as loud and with the boldness that you said, you'll have to hire somebody else because I'm not doing it. I'm sorry, Dad. Okay, cool. You're forgiven. Life's back to normal. But I thought, in reading Joseph, because in the evening, again, I was reading this story about Joseph, and I thought, what a great dad that heard God, didn't argue, didn't negotiate, didn't heard God, and the next day obeyed God. Dad, let's do that. So that leads to another thing. Do we spend time with God to where we can hear him? Dads, I want to encourage us. If there's ever a time, I'll just speak from Lynn Shull, father. I've had to talk to more God, to God more about being a father in these recent years of my life than ever before. Amen? And so you know what? God can help us in all of these things that we come up against in whatever, just in life, in leading our homes and whatever, that we're just left with a dropped jaw, or we're left with, I don't know what to do here, or we're left with, I'm stuck. I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to navigate around. Let's spend time with God. Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took to him his wife, and didn't know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. He called his name Jesus. Go to the next chapter, starting in verse 13. When they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Think about this obedience that Joseph had. Joseph, contrary to what maybe our brains picture, you know, we have this idea of this really young couple. Certainly Mary was young, but all of the historical writings about Joseph is that Joseph was an older man. And regardless, here's what we know. Joseph, what was his trade? He was a carpenter. Now think about this in real terms. Okay, so he's a carpenter. He has a bit, that's his livelihood. It's how he makes money. It's how he takes care of his family. You know, and that comes by what? Just word of mouth. You know, he does a great job. If he does a great job, somebody else is likely to hire him or whatever. So here he is. So at nighttime, again, the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, listen, I want you to move. I want you to think about that. I want you to move. For us guys, our career, our job, our vocation is really important to us. Sometimes for the wrong reasons, but most of the time we're just simply trying to provide a living for our families. Are you with me? Okay, so it's noble. But stop and think about it. The angel of the Lord tells him, you know what? She's gonna be in danger. The child's gonna be in danger, so you need to move. Wow. And the next day, they move. That's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal for a guy to just move. Take up your life and go to another place. How am I going to take care of my family? How am I going to provide for my family? What am I going to do? I don't have another job over there. You know, he couldn't go on Craigslist and he couldn't go to the classified ads. He couldn't go, you know, whatever. He just like, all right, I want you to move. Cool. Move. Go. Gets up. Go. Packs everybody up. Honey, we're leaving. Bang. Gone. That's a pretty great guy to be able to do that, to be confident enough in their relationship with God to hear that and then to act on it. That's a pretty big deal. Amen? Let's go on. Matthew 2, verse 19. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. Now think about that. So you're there a short time, just starting to get your feet established in a new place, right? Takes a while to do that. And then the angel of the Lord comes and said, now you need to move again. And I love how scripture that says, and it just says, and he arose, took the young child and his mother, came into the land of Israel. So dads, what can we learn about all this is that Not only was Joseph a godly man, Joseph was an obedient man to the Lord. But the thing that shows me something about Joseph that's contrary to a lot of what we see, I hate the way Hollywood portrays the typical guy. Amen? He's a bumbling, sex-driven idiot. And you know what? That's not most of the guys I know. I'm sure there's some sex-driven idiots out there that are men. But you know what? God's put within us guys, for the most part. Most guys just want to do a great job in providing for their family. Amen? Want to do a great job in being the best parent that they can be. That's most guys. Would you agree with that? Most guys want that. One of the things that you don't see a whole lot is you don't see it, certainly in Hollywood, you don't see it portrayed at all. But Joseph was also a very loving man. Amen? For him to go to the lengths that he went to for his family shows me a deep, deep love that he had for his wife and now this little kid that's in his life that he has the incredible challenge and privilege to be the one that was rearing him and teaching him the trade of being a carpenter. Joseph is one guy, you know, when you think about going to heaven and talking to some of the greats, rarely do you hear anybody that ever talks about Joseph, but he's one guy that I would like to talk to. I really would, because I would love to just get his take on this kid that came into his life that he was not the father of, that he grew up, that he provided for, but it wasn't just any guy. It was the Son of God. I don't know about you, but I would love to see that guy. Joseph was that guy that he was a man of faith. Everybody say faith. How do you know that? It doesn't say he was a man of faith. Well, you can surmise that. Because for a guy to hear to move now and then move again, how many of you know you have to have a deep faith in God? For what? What we don't have, any record that Joseph was this, you know, independently wealthy guy that none of this mattered. What we have is that, I mean, couldn't find anything other than an inn, right? What we find is a guy that, to me, I think Joseph was just normal. A carpenter wasn't a high class sort of a vocation. Carpenters typically back then, certainly for sure, carpenters typically back then, that wasn't a job that you go into to become independently wealthy, right? So he had to have a deep trust in God. So dads, I ask us, where are we in terms of the depth of our trust in God that leads to great faith? Incredible. He was a man who was faithful in spiritual duty. He set the example for his family. Because what we have in verse 16 of Luke 4 says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. This is talking about Jesus. So Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. Look at that. As his custom was. Everybody say, as his custom was. So do you know what Jesus had modeled to him growing up from his dad? As his custom was, he was always at the temple when he needed to be at the temple. Amen? In other words, he took his family and said, you know what? Put it in our modern day, we're going to church. Amen? You don't know how many young dads, it's interesting, it's actually fun for me to see, it warms my heart. How many young dads, you know, maybe single, okay, cool, they're doing life, they're in the middle of whatever, not a whole lot of responsibilities, they're kind of footloose, fancy free, you know, whatever. Church attendance, semi-regular, you know, whatever, cool, you know, they'll be in church if they're not having something to do with all their friends, and I get that, I get all that. Then a woman comes into their life and they get married, and now they just get to have fun with hopefully their best friend and whatever. And then what's amazing is it's amazing when you watch sometimes just something like church attendance. It's like, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, cool. We got something to do. Oh, we get up late. Get children into the place. And what's interesting is many times you see that God deal kicks in. That goes, now I've got the responsibility of these little kids. You don't know how many young families come up. Oh, cool. Man, it's great to see you. Man, you've been, it's great, been great to see you the last few months. Yeah. You know, when kids hit the pitcher, I realized I need to step up to the plate and be the kind of dad that gets my children around the presence of God. Amen. Joseph did that. The last thing that I would say is Joseph was a wise man. And let me just stick to my notes so we can stay on track here. Joseph was wise because he lived as one who redeemed the time. Joseph's life, by all accounts, at least that we can read historically, was that his life, you know, especially once Jesus entered the ministry, we don't have any record of Joseph at all. So at that moment in time, his life was, you know, in terms of being influential in the life of Christ, his life was shortened. Jesus charged John with the care of his mother. But Joseph used the time that he had here wisely. He provided for his family. He set an example for them that they could remember. He raised them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Joseph took the most of the time that he had and left a legacy. Amen? Dads, let's redeem the time. One of the things that we, none of us know for a certainty, is we don't know how long we're going to be here on this earth. I want to be here a long time. I want to get old. I used to say I want to get white-haired. Can't say, haven't been able to say that from about year 35 on. I am white-haired. But I want to get old. Amen? I really do. I'm looking forward to grandkids. I'm looking forward to grandkids. I want to teach those little toots. I want to just hang with them. I want to do whatever. But you know what? The truth of the matter is that in trusting for that and all of that, more than anything else, I want to make the most of the time every day that I have. I want to make the most of it to nurture, to educate, to protect, to do whatever it is that my family needs me as not only husband, but today as a father. I want to be that father for my children with the time that I do have. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, I don't want to just put off. I don't want to put off. I don't want to put off. I don't want to put off because that's not redeeming the time, but to live wisely. And so make the most in modeling an example, making the most of wise decisions and so on and so forth. So dads, it's a challenging thing. All of us know that. All of us know that it's not an easy thing. But I'll tell you what, would you agree that it's the most rewarding thing? Amen. And I would love to say, like Douglas MacArthur, that so then when I come to the end of my life, I can say, I've not lived in vain. Amen. This young father I was talking to this morning, I loved how we ended the conversation. He said, you know what? He said, only when kids enter the picture do you realize it's not about things. Only when kids enter the picture do we realize it's not about prestige. Only when kids enter the picture do we realize what do we put in them. That's the most important thing. Amen.